Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, for bringing you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. On this very fine day of December 10th, 2013, it's Tuesday. And once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's great to be back after being gone 2 little days. And let's get right into the markets today. We had a little bit more than just a little bit of an increase in gold today. Still trading way below than what it should be, but had a nice day for Tuesday. We have it up $21.80 for gold today at $12.63. Silver was up 57 cents today, almost 3% at $20.51. Platinum was up $16 at $13.95, and palladium was up $2 at $742. The USDX today traded. It broke down the 80, 79.97, down 0.18. And crude oil today, crude oil bumped back up over $98. It's the highest level in 6 weeks. And, of course, that is with the expectations that the U.S. supplies fell for a second week in a row. And you had the oil gain 109 at 98.43. And, of course, they're looking as the stockpiles, their supplies falling due to China's industrial output rose 10% from a year earlier in November. So they're looking for a little bit more usage there on oil. And about a stronger U.S. economy. Now, if you believe that, we also got some more land that you can bury your gold in Florida. But anyway, those are the reasons. I think there are other underlying factors that are making the price of crude oil rise. But that's what they want to give us. So some will believe it, some won't. And paper markets today traded down slightly. Supposedly, investors are taking a little bit of a break from the recent rally. A little bit of a break. If anybody has any amount of sense, they would be pulling a lot of profits off the table at these levels. So you have the Dow at 52 down. At 15,973, the NASDAQ was down 8 at 4060, the S&P down 5, 1802, 10-year yield, that came down a little bit since last week, 2.80%, down 0.06. So, yeah, crude oil doing I mean, gold doing a little bit better today. Nice to see silver back over 20. Premiums are rising on silver eagles, though, as it seemed to have mellowed out a little bit, and supplies are still moving fairly quickly, just a little bit, a week, maybe 2 weeks, a little bit of delay, nothing serious as of yet. So we'll keep you posted on that. If you want to order 2014s, we do have them available. We don't have the 2014s available, but we can lock in the price for you. And again, you wouldn't get delivery for those until they're available. So, but we'll lock them in for you. And just give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Hi, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Did you miss me?
Well, at times.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, at times.
Oh.
I understand you've got some land in Florida that you might have for sale.
Yeah. If they believe
Did they get hit by the ice storm?
No.
Well, then I might want some of that. Let me know, Mel. Yeah, let me know.
I'll tell you what, as cold as it is in here in Pennsylvania, right, at this moment, I mean, central Pennsylvania escaped a lot of the, we got 3 inches topped with some ice, but a lot of areas were certainly far worse hit than central Pennsylvania. But it is cold, and Florida's starting to sound pretty good, Al.
Yeah, I know. So if you really got any land down there, you know, you keep me in mind. I might be interested in the deal.
You got a lot of cold weather in Dallas.
It's all right. I don't mind the cold weather, tell you the truth. I kind of enjoy it. I don't like working in cold. I don't like working in the snow. I don't even mind working in cold weather. I don't like working in the snow. I had to do it when I was a kid and a young man. And you drive a dump truck and some heavy equipment and the rest of that sort of thing. And you get stuck in the snow. I hated working in the snow. I like playing in it. Don't like working in it. So we have a little down here in Dallas. And actually, it was pretty nice. I liked it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This week you had Majority Leader Harry Reid say that the Senate will not extend the current farm law if Congress can't agree on a new farm bill. So they're supposed to come out with a new farm bill before adjourning next week. It's funny, this whole House bill, a farm bill, I should say, is all based on extending or eliminating or cutting back on the unemployment benefits. That is one of the areas in how much to cut food stamps. And not a whole lot in there about the farm bill itself, but those are the two key points that is keeping everyone disagreeing on whether this should be passed or not.
Okay, so let me see if I understand correctly. We are willing to shut off the food supply to people who may not have enough money to get by, but we'll still keep giving $85 billion a month to the government buying their bonds and also to the Wall Street bankers. Is that right?
Pretty much.
Well, it's good to know Congress has its priorities in order, especially at the Christmas season. It's more blessed to give to the super rich than it is to give handouts to the super poor.
Finding a compromise on cuts to the nation's $80 billion a year food stamp program, that has been the toughest obstacle in between the House and the Senate. The House actually passed a bill this summer that would cut $4 billion from the food stamps annually and then allow stamps to create new work requirements for some of the recipients. And what happened is the Senate, the Democratic Senate, came back and passed the farm bill with $400 million annual cut. So they, you know, about one-tenth of the House cut. So, and you're absolutely right, you know. Something else that they want to do, if I can find this here real quick in this article, they've also want to crack down further. Because in some states, give low-income people as little as $1 a year in home heating assistance, even though they don't have heating bills, in order to make them eligible for increased food stamp benefits. Isn't that interesting?
Well, yeah, I understand. I'm not in favor of welfare per se and the rest of that sort of thing. I'm not here to argue that they're shooters should not be food stamps, but I am going to argue that if people are are hungry, and in large measure, to a significant degree, because the government itself has created circumstances to ship jobs overseas, and because the government has invited and allowed an invasion by illegal aliens that prevent people, some people within this country, yes, from finding jobs, then I don't have a problem with poor people getting food stamps. And I certainly don't have a problem with it when they're handing out $85 billion yeah. per month to the bankers on Wall Street and that's the federal right. government.
I agree.
There's something there, you know, if you're going to get rid of food stamps, fine. Get rid of subsidies for the rich, too. All right, let's see you pull that off, the people in Congress. Let's see if you can get tough on the rich in the same way you can get tough on the poor. It isn't. You know, it's just wrong, and it's embarrassing, and it's the sort of thing you look at and you just shake your head and you say, my God, what the heck are these people thinking of? You know, God's sake.
I know. And they do everything possible. When I give, I like giving to the Salvation Army.
Yep.
It's very local, and it's not, you know, giving funds to these big groups where half the money goes overseas. You don't know where it's going to. It's going into their pockets. I like to do local things, so I give to the local food banks, I give to the local Salvation. But look how hard they've made it for this, and they do so much. But while folks, when you're at Christmas time, you always had the bell ringers, where are they? I can't find any in State College here in Central PA. You know, maybe, you know, I'm walking to the Walmarts and, you know, the Targets and, you know, those types of strip malls, you don't see them. And these are and these groups like this help those that are on food stamps. It's like they've taken away all incentive for communities, for churches and so forth to help people. And that's where the help should be coming from. It should be coming from the cities and the states, not from the federal government.
I agree. It's one of the things that government has done in part by intruding into this, into supply and welfare, and I don't like that term, but when the government supplies welfare for the poor, they are taking over one of the objectives of Christian faith. Christians are supposed to help the poor, supposed to have charity for the poor. Government is replacing our obligation to provide charity to people we know and whatever. They've said, no, you don't need to do it. Forget that. We'll handle it. Just send your money to us and we'll take care of the charity. There is even a spiritual complaint to be made about government engaging in welfare. I don't think they've helped anybody. Well, you can't say they haven't helped anyone. That's not true. But long term, has government welfare really done this country any good? How much is, you know, I think we'd be better off if we handled it locally, because the local churches, for example, would not only be able to find a few dollars to help the poor, they'd also be able to find a few jobs. They'd know that somebody over at O'Reilly's tire repair place needs somebody to sweep up for a couple hours every night after work. They would have the ability to perhaps take advantage of the help the poor to find a job to get back on their feet. Government doesn't care about that. Not to a significant degree. I know they have requirements. You have to go do a dance. But in the final analysis, once you get on that welfare, you can stay for quite a while if you care to.
And here you almost have the same thing now. You have the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo. He came out today, and he's embracing a proposal for a two-year freeze on what he called crushing local property taxes. We all know, I mean, there was a mass exodus of people out of New York recently due to one of the things is high property taxes. So now this all sounds, you know, fine and dandy. He has a commission. They recommended $1 billion, about half of the state budget surplus, be used to freeze local property taxes for 2 years, but only for municipalities and school districts that abided by the state's imposed cap of 2% growth in budget spending. And in the second year, only municipalities and school districts that took meaningful, concrete steps toward finding permanent structure savings by sharing the cost of services and other entities or merging. So now, that's all, it sounds fine, you know, but who are they really helping? And is it really going to be helping the poor? There's advocates for the working poor that were concerned that this broad freeze for homeowners and tax breaks for employers might not help low-income New Yorkers enough in continuing hard times. And their concern is the proposal to give up revenue by cutting the estate tax. And the idea that they were cutting taxes for deceased millionaire when they were having the worst income equality in the country and historic levels and child love and childhood poverty seems profoundly unfair. And that was from Michael Kink of the progressive group Strong Economy for All. So again, it puts pressure and less people are really being helped.
Well, I'll tell you another thing about it, if you care to be cynical. All right. And it's hard to say whether you're being cynical or whether you're being objective. But who left New York City? What you're saying is they raised property taxes, and a bunch of people said, to heck with this, they sold their homes or properties, they sold them, and then they left New York City. Who bought their homes? Who bought the property? And there's a good case to be made, at least for suspicious minds, that they raised the taxes essentially on the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
They sold their homes probably at a diminished price to get out from under the sales tax. Who bought the homes? Probably, quite possibly, and I won't say probably, but quite possibly, wealthy elements of the community snatched up the homes that were essentially abandoned because the property tax raised, and then 2 years later they say, oh, wait, let's cut the property taxes. Cut the property taxes on who? On the rich who bought the homes from the middle class who had to leave New York. Now, is that true story? Is that an accurate analysis? I don't know. I'm just saying, if your mind works along that, you know, got a little bit of a suspicious mind, you might want to inquire and find out who really benefited. Yeah. And it's not the people who originally owned the home. It's the people who bought the home, and it could be this is a hustle.
And it's not just the taxes on the houses that pushed them out, but it was taxes overall that pushed these people out. But it is, you're right, they're focusing on the house property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where the break is going to come from, not taxes in any other area. So, you know, mm-hmm. not taxes on food, not taxes on gas, not taxes any other place, but housing. So, you know, you're...
Which means the price of housing is going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
It means that ultimately the price of housing, the price of rentals, the price of apartments, one thing or another. You may not have to pay more for gasoline, but what do they care, at least in the city of New York? I don't know how many people even have automobiles as a percentage of the population. If the price of gasoline goes up, I don't think it has much direct impact on the vast majority of the people in a significant percentage of the people in New York City. I don't think they're affected by the price of gas. It's not a political concern to them. But the price of food, yeah. And the price of rent, yeah. Those will be political concerns. So we'll watch and see what happens.
And we're almost heading into break, Al. I don't know if you wanted to spend a little time on Times Magazine shortlist or
not quite enough time. But when we get back after the break, we'll talk briefly about Time Magazine's shortlist for Person of the Year. They've got 8 people on the list. The top of the list is Miley Cyrus, who is famous for sticking out her tongue and twerking.
Now, was this a comical ad?
Nope,
was
this legit? This is legit. This is legitimate deal. Miley Cyrus is one of the people being considered for Person of the Year for Time Magazine. We'll talk about it when we get back. It's ridiculous. It's hilarious. It's an indication of what's happening to this country. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What you got for folks today, Melody?
We're running two little specials today. One of my favorite specials, AU $5 Liberties. Free silver eagle, free shipping for $485. And the second special is a Mint State 63 St. Gaudens coin. With a free silver eagle, free shipping for $1,550. So they're great specials, and those saints are just beautiful. A lot of mixed dates on those. These are the ones that I mentioned last week that were coming in. So you can give us a call. And if you want to combine both specials, you can do that too. And we'll save you a lot of money on that if you do that. And you can pick up both specials for $19.95. So you got a lot of savings there. And it's basically you're getting an extra free silver eagle. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Okay, we're talking about Time Magazine's shortlist for Person of the Year. All right, this is, I mean, this reads like, what's a David Letterman? He had a list that he used to present on his program. What did he call it? Do you remember?
The top 10 list.
Top 10, whatever, I don't remember. Well, we don't have top 10. We only have 8 on the short list for Time Magazine's Person of the Year. It includes, number 1, Miley Cyrus, again, famous for sticking out of her tongue and twerking. President Assad of Syria. Who's he's kept his cool, and he's kept his country despite attacks by rebels and outside forces, and he hasn't overreacted to provocations that were imposed by perhaps the United States and or the CIA. He's done a good job. You got to give him credit. I'm not going to tell you I'm a fan of President Assad and the rest of it, but realistically, he's done a good job. Number 3, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, who plans to deliver packages by drones within the next 4 years. He's number 3 on the list. Person of the Year. He's going to deliver packages by drones. Barack Hussein Obama, He's nominated, of course, and he is famous for being the principal behind Obamacare. He's Person of the Year, perhaps. Pope Francis, I don't follow the Catholic faith enough to comment on Pope Francis other than to say that he's achieved a certain amount of fame for being for resembling Elmer Fudd. I don't know if you ever looked at the man and you remember the old Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny commercials.
Look, Sal.
Well, it's interesting.
We
it's,
don't want to offend Cap, you know.
I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm just saying. What's he on the list for? You know, you can't just be there for being the Pope. Defense of Marriage Act plaintiff Edith Windsor. Yeah, that's interesting. She's done something serious, but she hasn't, you know, it's not that big a deal exactly. Ted Cruz, he's number 7 on the list. He's the first man who's born in Canada and therefore who's both a citizen of Canada and of the United States and has a Hispanic surname. It makes him sound ideal as a president for a North American union composed of Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Get that? Who else? You're going to put three countries together, and they're trying to do that. Maybe take it all the way down to the Panama Canal. But here's a man with a Hispanic surname, citizen of Canada, citizen of the United States. Sounds ideal for the North American Union to me. But, you know, and he's done a filibuster this year, and he's attracted a certain amount of attention. I don't see it. I'm sure he's a serious player, but I don't know that he's, you know, maybe he belongs on the list, but for me, he's just an also-ran. And finally, we have Edward Snowden, who leaked the computer files about the National Security Agency's spying. Now, in my opinion, Edward Snowden is Man of the Year. All right? The rest of these people, they don't match. Snowden has had an impact that was not merely here in the United States, not merely affected the U.S. government. It affected governments around the world. Snowden had a global impact when he revealed that the NSA was spying on just about everyone. And as a result, my choice would be Edward Snowden for Man of the Year. And most of the rest of these, though, Miley Cyrus, how is she even a contender? You know, this is, I don't know, I'm trying to remember the names of famous strippers in the, you know, out of the 50s and 60s. Did they ever make it onto the Time magazine shortlist of Person of the Year? I'm trying to, I should be able to think of a name or two, but I can't. You know, some of this is just cartoon stuff. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, good God. Barack Obama, you know, that guy's, his popularity is what? Maybe, I don't know, 20-30% of the American people actually like what he's doing. Edward Snowden's the man, in my opinion. He's, but the rest, most of the rest of the other 7 are also rans at best, and a couple of them are just flat out cartoon characters. They don't, there's no Person of the Year in some of these people. So, what's it all mean? Well, it doesn't mean much of anything. It's just amusing, perhaps, a little bit entertaining, but also evidence of where are the scientists and the engineers? Where are the people who've made a big and positive difference in this country? You know, you could imagine a time when Henry Ford was on the list for inventing the assembly line. Right, and you can imagine that there were times when people who invented new processes for making steel, they made the list for Person of the Year. What have we got? It does not, it's a sort of thing, it's a leaf in the breeze. Doesn't prove anything, but it's a leaf in the breeze that indicates this country's not headed in a good direction. What?
Sorry state of affairs.
Yeah, I know. Miley Cyrus, Person of the Year.
Ruby's better. My dog Ruby is better than any of these guys.
some of them, yeah. She would have been on the longer list. That's another one. Yeah, you watch. Before it's done, we're going to have an animal on the list. There will be an animal. It'll be something like
Free Willy.
Coco the gorilla or something like that. I think Coco the gorilla is dead, but it'll be something like Coco the gorilla for Person of the Year. The world is just getting weirder and weirder.
Here's an interesting thing. Federal workers are outraged by pension squeeze. Federal workers in the possible bipartisan budget deal that is expected by Friday could actually require them to pay more into their pensions to offset other budget cuts. And, of course, this guy comes out and says that works for the government, says it's a pay cut, and it's not fair. He's about to retire 3 years from now, and he says he didn't know what it's going to do to the workforce.
Workforce?
Yeah.
They have a workforce at the federal government?
He works for at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California.
And he actually does work. Yeah. This means there's actually productive effort. It's not just a matter of showing up. He actually makes a productive effort. Is that true?
According to the reports, the increased pay into pensions would offset some of the scheduled $110 billion in forced budget cuts next year. Yep. About 2.7 million federal workers, including those working for the Postal Service, would have to contribute more than 0.8% of their paychecks that they currently put away toward the retirement. Now, this is what I don't get. Nobody knows how much workers would pay until the deal is announced, but Republicans were pushing for a 2% of each paycheck. But the monthly annuity benefit that they receive, that they'll collect upon retirement, isn't going to change.
Well, I get that. I understand.
Yeah. So,
well, what it's coming down to is the federal workers are outraged by the idea that they should have to contribute to their own pension fund.
Yep.
That is, or at least contribute as much as contribute another 2% to the money they're going to be receiving later on when they retire. Their argument is we should get those chumps out there in TV land. The taxpayers, they're the ones who are supposed to pay for the federal employees' retirement funds, not the federal employees. Well, it's all just nuts. If you got a pension fund, pay your own pension. That's all. Why should anybody else be responsible for paying someone's pension? Pay your own. You know, pay your own system. That's what should be happening. And
here's something else. If this is the average employee makes $78,000. And hiking the pension contributions up to 2% of paychecks, it means they would get about $936 less in take-home pay. And they haven't received a raise since 2010. Many of the workers also had their pay cut over the summer due to the furloughs. Here's this Randazzo. I don't know exactly where he's, but this person has actually said he's afraid the deal will push even more workers to leave the federal government.
Thank God. Then let's call your congressman, ladies and gentlemen, say, make that deal.
My question, $78,000 plus benefits that they receive is a pretty nice, sweet deal. There's not too many places they can go anywhere equivalent and work and make that type of money. So I don't see how that would force anyone out of a job.
Nobody's leaving the federal government except first.
Yes.
Understand? They're going to hang on until they get their retirement, then they're going to walk out and party and party and party. Rand Institute did a study about 2 years ago, maybe three. They calculated that the average federal employee was being paid double what they could earn doing the same job in the private sector. All right. So if they're making an average of $78,000 a year, and assuming that the Rand study principles, it still applies today as it did, say, 3 years ago. If that's true, we have people who are earning $34,000 a year, or no, it would be more than that, $39,000 a year, and being paid $78,000 a year and complaining that they might have to cough up an extra $936 a year to pay for their own pensions. These people are nuts. You know that? Just flat out nuts. And what should be done, they shouldn't get a nickel to work in the federal government, not one nickel more than you can make doing the same job out in the private sector. There's nothing happening in the vast majority of the federal government. There's a few things that are important. There's a few things that have to be taken care of. But the vast majority of the federal government does nothing that's so important that they deserve to be paid double what they could make during doing the same job out in the private sector. So what else, Melody?
Taxes, we were talking about taxes earlier. They tried to push this through once before. I guess they're trying to push it again, but as usual, they're a little bit late, though, aren't they? A 15-cent tax on trees.
Christmas trees.
Yeah, that's a little late, isn't it? Most people already have their trees.
Well, I don't know. It's maybe late for this year, but it's, you know, they're getting their, they're doing their Christmas taxing. Do your Christmas taxing early for next year. You understand? Just like a lot of people will go out in January this year and they'll buy gifts in the big sales. They'll buy gifts instead of buying before Christmas. They buy them in January and perhaps save some of them for next Christmas. Congress acts the same way. They're doing their Christmas taxing for 2014 early.
Yeah, don't get us up to 2015 yet, Al.
No, not yet. We've got, but they want to impose a 15-cent tax on every Christmas tree. 15, not 15%, 15 cents. What do you suppose it's going to cost to administer a 15-cent tax? Can you do the paperwork on a 15-cent tax for less money than the tax itself? I mean, all by itself, that just sounds stupid. But what I'm reminded, again, 15 cents besides doesn't sound like much. But I'll bet you that the first taxes on cigarettes were only a few cents a pack back in the day. Who knows, 1920s, 1930s. I don't know when they started to tax cigarettes. Today, most of the price of a package of cigarettes is taxes. You let that camel get its nose into your tent, and guess what? Before long, you can't afford to live in the tent because the camel's going to be there. The 15-cent tax on Christmas trees is just one more cut in the death by a thousand cuts that we've come to know as the American taxing system. We've got some geniuses in Congress who are sitting there saying, I know, why don't we have a 15-cent tax on Christmas trees? And the rest of Congress says, yay, another tax. That's what the American people need, more taxes. More madness is what we're actually getting here. Not just more taxes, more madness, more craziness, more just stupidity, just profound stupidity. You know, we ought to have a flat tax just across the board.
I agree.
You know, all of this multitude of taxes, got a tax on the Christmas tree and a tax on each Christmas light and one tax for red lights and one tax for green lights and rest of that bull crap. One tax, flat, across the board. And you know why the government doesn't want that, Melody?
Why is that?
Because if everyone was taxed at the same rate, rich, middle class, and poor, everybody pays the same tax rate, then everyone would be united against the government. And if you set that tax rate at 15% for everybody, I guarantee everybody would agree that it would be better if it was 14%. And if a candidate ran for office and say, I will reduce your taxes from 15 cents or 15% to 14%, everybody would vote for him. It's only by means of a multitude of taxes, some of which favor some people, some which favor other people. That's how they divide and conquer and keep this government under control, or keep the people under control. If we had a flat tax, people would unite against government. They would understand the relationship with government was purely adversarial. They're not here to help us. They're here to take whatever you've got and help themselves. And when enough people realize that, we might be able to get a limited government, restore constitutional government in this country, and do this country some good.
I don't even think we'd even get to those points, Al, because if we had a flat tax from the very beginning, I don't think we'd have the size of the government that we have today.
Oh, I agree.
So, I mean, so we wouldn't. It's not even a matter of being against or not in agreement, not against, but in an agreement with Washington. It's a matter of it wouldn't even have gotten to that point.
Well, I agree, but here we are. And as long as we have a multitude of taxes, we got the death by a thousand cuts, and some of the cuts hit you and some of the cuts hit me, and none of us can agree on which cuts to get rid of. And what I'm saying is you should have just one cut, at least as much as is possible. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be dependent on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We're going to talk a little bit about the economy today. And, we talk about the illusion and the lies that are being told and how it, they do an amazing job. They're great liars coming out of Washington and Wall Street, mm-hmm. A combination of them both. And the economy is not as good as it seems or what they tell us it is. It's doing very poorly out there. And it's just not our economy. It's the economies around the world. And when our economy is, it's surprising to see China had that much better growth in their manufacturing sector. So, we were going to talk about China's view of their pollution.
Yeah, I understand they have, and it's practically hilarious. This is just absurd. I'm guessing they have the same writers for the government of China that they have for the government of the Obama administration. Because they're willing to put out some information that is just absurd. Here's something from Yahoo News. Headline is, Chinese government tries to spin smog as a healthy benefit and aid to national defense. This is just too much, you know. Much of China has been suffering through choking smog in recent weeks. They have a terrible smog problem, pollution problem. They call it smog. They're talking about air pollution. The pollution is so bad in China that a few years ago, California had been working on its pollution for years, and they'd reduced it substantially. And a few years ago, they began to realize that pollution was rising. And they did an intense study to try to figure out where was this pollution coming from. Well, it turned out it was coming all the way across the Pacific Ocean from China. And it was causing an increase in the pollution rate in California. Now, the point of this is if you have pollution in China that is so severe that it can cause a detectable increase in the amount of pollution in California, you have big-time pollution in China. I mean, it looks like It looks like a fog. It looks like London in the fog.
Yeah, you can't even see across the street.
No, I understand. I understand. And it's not fog. It's pollution. It's going to kill these people. I mean, it's going to kill Chinese. But here's what they're doing. There's a publication called Global Times, and it lists the five benefits, or at least five. It lists five benefits of smog. That's right, benefits. And here are the rationalizations and/or benefits. And number one, it unifies the Chinese people. All right, the people feel more together in the midst of their fog. And I would say the people who cough together stay together, Melody. It's something we want to. We may be coughing together in this country before it's all over. Number two, it makes China more equal. What that means, I have no idea. How does China, you know, that's just irrational. It may be that that means something in Chinese, but in the translation, makes China more equal to what? Makes Chinese people more equal? Everybody's equally suffering from smog. Everyone's seeing their life expectancy diminished. I'm not sure what they mean by that, but that was number two. Smog makes China more equal. Number three, it raises citizen awareness of the cost of China's economic development. I can understand that. It makes a certain amount of sense. They have to recognize that part of the cost of becoming an industrial power includes generating vast amounts of pollution, and therefore, if they want to become an industrial power, and if they want to see their own standard of living increase, they have to put up with the smog. You know, it's one of the consequences of watching their standard of living rise. So it becomes a justification that, you know, a little bit twisted in some regards, but nevertheless, it's true. Here's number four. This is bizarre. It makes people funnier. That's what it says. That's their fourth reason. The smog makes people funnier. Does that make any sense to you, Melody? How does smog make people more funnier than they were?
I don't know, but let's move on to the next one.
All right, it makes people more knowledgeable of things like meteorology and the English word haze. So you're forced to learn things in the smog. Yeah, you know, it's just another one of those things. My God, these people are, on the one hand, nuts, or on the other hand, just flat out desperate. These lies are so foolish, so just obviously absurd. Why would anyone do that except out of the need imposed by their desperation? Somebody's got to keep a lid on this. We'll lie to them. We'll tell them it's good for them. Go out there and enjoy the smog. It's a beautiful day. The smog is thick. You know?
Well, they certainly are becoming westernized. You know, the countries who lie together stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is a testing of the people to see if they can still, if their words still have power over the people to do the people still listen to what the government says. So who knows? But what I think that was important is almost in relationship to the giant lies that we hold over here.
I understand.
And improving or telling people that our economy is improving.
What does that indicate if we see the big lies not only in our country but also in China and presumably in governments around the world? What does that implicate? What does that indicate?
They're all in it together.
No, it's not just that they're all in it together, but they are all desperate
yes.
at the same time. It's evidence that the whole system is teetering on the edge. It's teetering on a global basis. It's not just a matter, do we have problems in Washington, D.C., or Austin, Texas, or Spokane, Washington, or wherever. It's a question of a global problem. What's the common denominator for the globe, Melody?
Money, currency.
Fiat. Money spun out of thin air and allowing such insanities as over $250 billion in derivatives to exist in this world. That's just nuts. It's irrational. It makes no sense. And yet here it is, and we have it in large measure because we have a fiat monetary system. Everybody in positions of power understands that we are teetering on the edge. Everyone in positions of power understands that inevitably the whole world, the fiat world, is going over the edge. The only question is, when is this going to happen? And increasingly it looks, you know, nobody knows. I certainly don't know. But it looks like it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Here's an interesting thing that just came out. It's just timed 3/21. J.P. Morgan patents Bitcoin-like payment system. The system includes digital wallets, the ability to transfer money to anyone, according to a patent application filed on November 26. This is the Financial Times first reported the story. J.P. Morgan also patent payment software that would – I saw something like this last week to where it could latch onto your internet browser and allow you to shop without pausing to fill out forms with personal financial information, with personal financial information, and with what the bank calls its internet pay anyone account. Moving funds would be private and as easy as sending an email. And so I find that very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's something we talked about earlier in previous weeks when we talked about Bitcoin. I don't expect Bitcoin to replace the dollar.
No,
some people think that could happen.
No.
That's certainly
no.
not going to happen. But Bitcoin has shown the way to set up a digital global currency. And it has paved the way, and it does not surprise me that someone like J.P. Morgan sees the future and they say, we're going to get in there and we're going to try to control this currency. Now, the fact that they patented their bit-like, their Bitcoin-like theory, process, whatever you want to call it, the fact that they patented it makes me wonder. Bitcoin isn't patented. I wonder, will J.P. Morgan have a basis, if they get the first patent on these kinds of currencies, digital currencies, will J.P. Morgan have a basis for going after Bitcoin and putting Bitcoin out of business? I don't know that that's true, but it crosses my mind as a possibility. And lastly, when they talk about, boy, you're going to get this, you're going to have your own digital wallet and everything will be safe, and you won't even have to enter any of your personal information into the computer when you buy stuff, and that sounds like a great idea, except for one thing. Every one of your financial transactions will be known to J.P. Morgan or whoever is controlling this new currency. There will be one source that will have all the information on everything you buy over the internet. They aren't going to have to go to Amazon and eBay and 100 other places where you might have done business. They're only going to have to go to J.P. Morgan, and they will understand every nickel and dime that you have spent by means of your digital currency. So they're talking about this is going to be a private way of conducting business. Yeah, it'll be private. Relative to other commercial entities, it'll be private relative to other private people. You're the only one who know what you're doing. Only you and J.P. Morgan and whatever government entities J.P. Morgan is hooked up with. This is not a step forward. It may be an inevitable step, but this is not a blessing.
Well, it's interesting because we still don't know who's behind Bitcoin.
No, we might not ever find out.
And so we could even be J.P. Morgan. They could have been the creator. I mean, no one knows who's behind Bitcoin. It could have come from any government. It could come from any, you know. So we don't know. So you're right. You could very easily see J.P. Morgan's product come forward and Bitcoin just disappears.
Well, Bitcoin is limited to 21 million Bitcoins altogether.
Yeah, well.
21 million, 21 billion, I don't remember. But they've got a fixed number.
If you believe that, I got some land in Florida.
I guarantee if I was running Bitcoin and we reached the limit and we only had, and we didn't have any more Bitcoins, I would start Bitcoin number two.
Yeah.
And say, well, guess what? Now we've got Bitcoin number two, which is going to be another 21 million or billion or whatever, however many coins. It'll never end. But I don't know what to make of it. You know, we're looking at what may be an idea whose time has come, or are we looking at another example of the tulip mania that grasped, you know, took over Holland back, what, 1600s or something like that?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. I don't remember. Yep. In that Venice. And that's where people were using tulips as money. All right? And the tulip, if it had a particularly fancy flower, was worth a fortune. A man's work for a year could be paid off with a tulip. The whole thing was insane. But it worked for a while, and bitcoins. So are bitcoins another instance of tulip mania, or are they evidence of a digital idea whose time has come? What do you think?
I think bitcoins is more along the lines of a mania. However, I believe the concept and the change that we're experiencing in people's will to accept a different type of currency and the interest is a result of our financial situation, our fiat currency, and I do believe we are going into a change. Now, whether that change is going to remain, it's a matter of what happens and how this all plays out.
Yep.
So we are going to see change, and the only way we're going to see this type of change is you're going to have a lot of people lose a lot. They're not going to walk away today we're going to change and everything is going to remain the same. We're not going to have this change until major, major financial situation arrives.
No, I understand. They're going to go through a calamity before we get
absolutely.
To significant change.
I believe when this one system collapses, another one will arise.
Oh, yeah.
And it really depends on those in power. Depends on what that system will be. And I don't believe there's a going back, but I do believe people can protect themselves and from this calamity. And
well,
I don't think we're that far away.
I don't think we are either. I think we may be a lot closer. We seem to be at a period where things are calm and perhaps, you know, safe. There's a sense of security for some people right now. Not necessarily everyone, but a lot of people say, okay, it's not getting worse, all right, so maybe it's okay. I think it's going to get worse, and I think it's going to happen in a relatively short period of time. In my opinion, certainly within 12 months and perhaps within 3. We'll watch and see. I'll be interested to see what happens in the first quarter next year. It may be nothing remarkable, but we are teetering on that edge. And as we, you can't teeter there forever. And we are inevitably going over that edge. I think the time may be getting pretty quick. In the meantime, time of the end of the program is also about 5 seconds away. So, Melody, we got to say goodbye to the folks. I want to thank all of them for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.